games with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Hey, welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Zen Sports. As always, Robbie Stanley here with you alongside Nick Kieser. And my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about on today's program. What a dramatic win for the Nashville Predators last night. We're going to get into that all throughout the show today here on the program. Nick Kieser, good morning. Let's try that again. Nick Kieser, how are we doing? What's going on? It's not good morning time.
Well, it's morning for us, I guess. But yes, I'm doing well. Late night last night, Roman Josi yet again looking like a god playing defense. He's insane. But more importantly, the Preds are on a huge stretch right now, and 18 games, longest one that we've seen since the 21-22 Colorado Avalanche. You talked about that yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. So fun stuff there. The Preds are riding hot. Everybody's happy. Hey, all of us were downstairs last night anticipating for there to be a loss. Just a being there ahead of time, we all get ready for those questions and all that jazz. So, but no, I'm doing great, and as are the Predators, and we will see how things carry over as they now have the next two games on the road.
What a comeback last night. They were down 3-0 after the first period. They made it 3-1 in the second. A late goal by Vegas to make it 4-1 to close out the second period. So you're in a situation, if you're the Predators, where you're heading into the third period down 3 goals, and you're heading into the third period down 3 goals against the reigning Stanley Cup champions and a team that's really good at protecting the lead and really good at kind of clogging things up in the middle and playing a nice defensive brand of hockey. And what ensued after that was just magic. And it's more magic from what we've seen from the Predators throughout this stretch. They score 3 goals in the third period to tie it up 4-4. Roman Josi wins the game in overtime 40 seconds into it with a move that we've seen him do a couple of times so far this year in overtime, kind of driving to the net, cutting across the crease, going forehand to backhand and stuffing it home. And just a huge win. The atmosphere was electric last night. And again, Nick, I mean, it was one of those games where it's gone, I think, differently than most of the games have gone this stretch, where they I think heading into the game last night, they had trailed for like a grand total of 16 minutes throughout this entire streak, which is just unbelievable to think about over that long a period of time what they've done. They trailed for the majority of the game last night, and they were finally able to tie it up. You know, that top line did what they do. They scored big goals. One of them came on the power play with Gus Nyquist. So you get the power play after the failed challenge by Vegas. But what a response by this group to pull off what they did last night. And it just kind of felt like one of those nights where if you were there in attendance, or even if you were watching the game on TV, like you're not going to forget that one for a long time.
No, absolutely not. It was one of those games through and through that you'll remember for a long time as a Predators fan, if not forever. And I think the biggest takeaway for me was that they found a way to win yet again. And they've done it in almost every possible way throughout this entire point streak. I think seeing them flip the switch all the way back at the game in St. Louis, but then also I think when they were on the road, I mean, that showed me that this group was really gutsy. You know, the word that Andrew Brunette has dubbed on every single one's hat in the locker room is relentless. Yep. And so that has been the most evident theme. And even catching up with a few guys in Milwaukee over the weekend, I think hearing what they've even seen from afar, but also while they were here, they know that this is a special team, but also a special organization as well. So overarchingly, this is where the organization is going, and it's a very positive thing to see as well. But also, I think my main takeaway going back a little bit to the first period against the Golden Knights, I thought honestly the Preds were a little flat-footed at times. Not completely, but I thought that at times they did not look like themselves whatsoever. I thought Vegas dictated the pace. They looked like the champions that they are from last year, and they showed everybody why they mattered right now in the race. And I think the Predators, they had a quick measuring stick output where it was, hey, look, this team's for real. And Andrew Brunette, he's like, hey, everybody's legit right now. You know, everybody's trying to compete and all of that. But I think for the Predators, they had another pretty much unknown goaltender come in that I saw also over the weekend against the Admirals play. He's a very confident goaltender for sure, but also someone that you probably should have had a lead over pretty early on, but you didn't. And he also played out of his mind in certain ways. Tommy Novak just got absolutely stonewalled early on as well. So the Preds did not help themselves early on. But I want to share this tidbit as well because this is very important. And I want to look around the league and see what the average is. But the Nashville Predators, I combined all the totals of the guys that have played in the playoffs. Robbie, if you had to guess, how many combined playoff games do you think this group has played possibly?
Oh, gosh. I'll go 440 games.
It's 817 games.
817, that's a lot.
So Ryan McDonagh leads the way with 185.
I knew he had a lot.
The second most is exactly 100 below, and it's Roman Josi.
Makes sense.
Below that, you've got Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg and Gus Nyquist, and then you got guys like Beauvillier and Colton Sissons, Tyson Barry, all of that. There's a few guys that are outliers, but that's something that I wanted to share because as they move along here, there are a lot of guys that bring a lot to the table in the postseason. Tyson Barry's almost better for it playing right now, by the way, too, because he knows what it's like to play in these bigger games. But also, too, these injuries don't help you enough as well right now. So we'll see what these other guys add to the lineup. But this is certainly a team to be excited about. Those Swedish meatballs, as Ryan O'Reilly put it last night.
Yeah.
that was quite the phrase to use about his line mates, and they have certainly been tearing it up. And Gus Nyquist, now the oldest player in franchise history to reach over 65 points in a season.
He's been fantastic, and it was those four guys, really. Nyquist, Forsberg, O'Reilly, and, of course, Josi that kind of led the way for them last night. And that's a heck of a win, not only from just the, you know, how dramatic it was, but what it does for you in the standings, too. So had you lost that game in regulation, you would have been 1 point up on Vegas. And now you get the win, and even though they get a point in it, you're 4 points up on them, and you're only 4 points back of Winnipeg for third in the division. So, I mean, that's a huge swing. I mean, you're thinking about, man, what a performance by Vegas. They're only 1 point back of you now for the first wild card spot in the Western Conference. And then to flip that around, battle back the way they did, get the win, and for that to pay off in the standings the way it did, that's a huge stretcher. I mean, look. We're going to get into potential playoff opponents a little bit later in the program. One thing that's pretty clear, though, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, barring just a total collapse.
Which is probably not going to happen.
Which is probably not going to happen at this point. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see what the matchups looks like and what that means. But just that turnaround in itself from what it was in that Dallas game, to think about that being February the 15th, and here we are, basically a month and a half later.
Yeah, 41 days.
And they have not lost a game in regulation since then. I mean, it's incredible. And I hope, again, I don't know how it's going to end. I mean, they might be one and done in the playoffs. They may go on to win the Stanley Cup. I have no idea. But I hope, and I think they are. I think Predators fans are really enjoying this ride right now. It's fun to watch. And, man, that third period last night was as fun to watch as anything they've done to this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they did it without another defenseman, by the way, who got swapped out for one another. The Quebecois, as Max Herz has dubbed it all season, looking at Alex Carrier missing time for what I would assume is maybe just rest. He looked completely fine at morning skate the other day, so I would not think it's too much. Alex has been healthy most of the season, so I don't want fans.
Doesn't seem like a huge deal.
Yeah, I had some people messaging me about that last night during the game, and I don't think there's much to read into about that.
Unless he fell down the stairs between morning skate and the game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's the case. I think you're going to see some guys being rested. Tyson Barry's got plenty of it. I would anticipate him probably finishing out the regular season. Unless they want to put a few more guys in there to give them some games or whatnot, I don't know. But Tyson's also been the most scratched player on the team this year. I think it's like 32 scratches this year, so he's probably never dealt with this. And so he's been very vocal about that experience this year. But I think that down the stretch here, you will see Kevin Lankinen and probably get a few more starts. I don't know when they could possibly clinch. It probably will not be until the later games in April, the last week or so, if I had to guess. So the Preds definitely have some wiggle room to see what's going to happen, where they might seed themselves. I don't know. We talked about this on Robbie and Rex Road earlier in the week, too, of just, hey, where could they possibly go? Who would you rather see them play? And I know that we'll get into that here in just a little bit, and we'll hear from what you guys also talked about early on as well. So I don't know if it matters necessarily, but they certainly will have a preference, I think, at some point in time.
Well, and the way they're playing right now, I mean, it's, you know, you don't say that you love your chances against any team. They're going to be the underdog, but they're playing great hockey right now. And look, I mean, Mark Jankowski, that was a nice goal, great shot he had last night. For the most part, they've been getting contributions up and down the lineup throughout this entire stretch, and that continues to be the case. However, like I'm a firm believer that when the moments get big and when you need your best players to step up and make a play for you, it's the good teams do that. Like, you know, Nathan MacKinnon has a way of rising to the occasion for the Avalanche. Connor McDavid has a way of rising to the occasion for Edmonton. And look, you know, the Predators don't have anybody like that. They don't have a Nathan MacKinnon. They don't have a Connor McDavid. But right now, your best players are leading the way for your group. You know, Nyquist has been outstanding, as we talked about. But, you know, I think Philip Forsberg deserves a lot of credit here. Obviously, he reaches the 40-goal mark for the second time in his career. And I saw Dmitry Filipovic put this out there last night on Twitter. During this 18-game stretch, Philip Forsberg has 15 goals, 13 assists, 80 shots on goal, 118 shot attempts, and the Preds are up 20-8 in his 5-on-5.
That's not Connor McDavid. That's not Leon Draisaitl. Right. That's not anybody that's big like Nathan MacKinnon or anything.
Well, and he's playing great. He's playing best hockey of his career. And I asked him about that the other day at the Detroit game. But I think we really need to stop and take stock of what he's doing out there. And look, O'Reilly's been great too, and Nyquist, and that whole line has been together for such a long time at this point. But your best players are coming through at big moments, and Philip Forsberg from all the forward group certainly leading the way. And, you know, obviously, Roman Josi on the back end is playing some of the best hockey of his career, which is really saying something because we've seen him go through some amazing stretches before. But those two guys in particular, along with Saros, that stepped his game up during this stretch, Josi and Forsberg are certainly leading the way for this group.
Yeah, they are. And you need those leaders. I already talked about how many playoff games most of these guys have. I mean, if you missed it, I'll say it again. 817 combined playoff games of experience on this roster. I'd love to know what the league average is for sure, but this is definitely above it if I had to guess. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this team can handle the rest of the games. I mean, look, they've got one more big test, I want to say, against the Jets. You know, that's going to be a big game at the very end of the season. But then also, you've got a couple of games on the road this weekend. And, well, really, it's you got the Coyotes, and then you've got a really good game this weekend against Colorado. So you really have to measure yourself for what it truly is at this point in the season. Colorado's the hardest team to play on the road, you know, Mile High City. But also, it's going to be the hardest building to play in this season this weekend. So it's a matter of how the Predators can handle it, Robbie, and I'm very intrigued as to how they approach it.
Well, the crowd has been fantastic. I thought the place was great last night. When they scored that third goal to get within one goal, everybody was standing up. Obviously, when Nyquist tied it, the place went nuts. And then in overtime, the game winner, some of the reactions and kind of the still shots we've seen in the crowd have been awesome. And this it's pretty clear. I mean, we can feel it on our radio show in the morning. I can feel it on social media. I can feel it just going out in public and people talking about it. Like, this team is capturing the attention once again of this market, of the fan base, and it's a fun time of year. Like, when you're rolling through an 18-game heater like they're on right now and it's playoff time coming up right around the corner, it's a great time of year to be a hockey fan. It's a great time of year to be a Predators fan, and this team is giving this fan base a lot of reason to cheer right now, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. 615-737-1025, our number. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation that we had this morning on Robbie and Rex Road about potential playoff opponents coming up. What does that look like? Who should the Predators be wanting to see in the first round of the playoffs? Who are maybe some teams that they want to avoid? We did that on The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road. You'll hear that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The Choice Is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate today at JaredCompaniesInc.com. Or call them today at 615-515-1270. That's 615-515-1270. A Nashville Predators edition of The Choice Is Yours today. So, Joe, let's start with what Mike from Gallatin asked us in the last segment. Going through the possible playoff matchups, and there's a few that I think are more likely than others. Right now, the three most likely, I would say, would be Dallas, Colorado, and Vancouver are the three most likely first-round opponents for the Predators. Winnipeg is still in there, although they're 5 points back of the division lead now for Dallas, and they're 3 points back of Colorado. And I just think Winnipeg, at this point, barring a change, is going to either be third in the Central, or the Predators are going to pass them for a wild card spot. So you could include them in this discussion if you want to, but I'll go Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, and the other one I'll throw in there is Edmonton, because Edmonton is 8 points back of Vancouver, but they've also got two games in hand on them. So we'll go those four teams: Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, Edmonton. Rank them 1 to 4 in terms of the playoff opponents, the matchups that you think are most advantageous for the Nashville Predators. Who would like to start?
I'll start. So one, as in most desirable of those four, I'm going Dallas. Two, I'm going Vancouver. Three, I'm going Edmonton, and four, Colorado. But three and four to me, like, there's a gap to me, and then three and four. That's just how. And yeah, look, none of these match. I mean, all these teams. Vancouver's been a tough matchup for the Preds. Now, Dallas has been a decent matchup for the Preds this year in the regular season, for whatever that's worth. And then we, of course, Dallas, I guess, gets some kind of credit for this stretch too, for putting nine on them. But that's how I would do it. I go Dallas, Vancouver, and it's close, and then there's a gap, and then Edmonton and Colorado. Either of those, I don't like those matchups.
Nick Kieser, 1 through 4, Dallas, Colorado, Edmonton, Vancouver. How do you rank those playoff opponents for the Predators?
I would start with Dallas. I just think the way that they have played against Dallas, obviously the most recent matchup did not go their way whatsoever, but that's not indicative of how they're currently playing right now. I'd go Dallas. I'd go Vancouver. My bottom two change just a little bit. I've got Colorado, then Edmonton. I just think the way that Edmonton plays, and especially how they've manhandled the Preds at times, I don't like that matchup personally. I think Colorado, yeah, they loaded up for sure, but I also think at times their goaltending can struggle a little bit, I think, with Gorgiev back there. So I think for the Predators' sake, if they did draw the Avalanche, I think it would go a little bit better than maybe some fans think. I think that one sweep that went way of the Avalanche, I think it would not look anything like that this time around if they did end up playing them.
I think we all agree Dallas, Vancouver are 1 and 2 in whatever order you want to put them. I kind of go back and forth on which one I think is a better matchup. I mean, the problem with Vancouver, and it's to some degree about Edmonton, even though I think we know more of what Edmonton is than I think we do Vancouver. They hadn't played Vancouver in forever. Like, it's been months since they've seen Vancouver. And Vancouver's good. They've got, when Thatcher Demko is healthy and he's on, he's a good goalie. They have, I think, probably still the Norris Trophy favorite, although that's got to be changing with each passing game. We'll see what happens. But in Quinn Hughes, Besser, and Pettersson, they're loaded up front. So, like, Vancouver's a good team. What's Vancouver going to be like in the playoffs? I don't know. Like, so I kind of go back and forth on Dallas and Vancouver as the most advantageous matchup. I would go Edmonton 3 and Colorado 4. I think Colorado to me is the one that you clearly want to avoid. And I know the Predators are 2-0 against them, and we're going to see them again on Saturday, that matchup, to see what that looks like and gather more information that way. And this time it'll be on the road, which has been the toughest place in the league to play this year and Denver. So you're going to get another good look at that if you're the Predators on Saturday. The reason I've got them behind Edmonton is the pressure on Edmonton when the playoffs come this year is going to be unbelievably high. Like Colorado, I mean, there's always pressure, but Colorado won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. Edmonton has been knocking on the door and knocking on the door, and if they don't do it this year, I mean, that team is going to get – I mean, they're just going to get ripped by the media, by the fan base, everybody. Like, at some point, they have to break through and win when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And I just wonder, like, whether it's the Preds or anybody else, like, if you rolled into Edmonton and you took game one in a series, and the goaltender especially, and Skinner looks shaky, the noise over there is just going to be so loud. So while I don't like the matchup for the Predators against Edmonton, and I don't really like it against Colorado either, to me the main difference is kind of the psychological part of it. I've got Edmonton 3, Colorado 4.
Makes sense. And yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes that pressure, you know, like Colorado was under massive pressure after blowing it in 21.
Yep.
And they won it in 22. So maybe this is the year the Oilers do that. But I agree. Going in, that's a good factor.
On the Roman Josi front, and we're going to get into the Hart Trophy discussion here in a minute, but I'll throw it to you this way. Which one is more deserving? Roman Josi of Norris Trophy votes, Andrew Burnett, Jack Adams. What do we think? If you had to pick one,
man,
I think that's a tough one.
That is a very good question. You know, the thing is, like, you can quantify the, you know, the Norris stuff a little better than the Jack Adams stuff. I think I'd go Brunette and the Jack Adams. First of all, you do have to go with what did we think of a team going into the season. That's a huge part of it. And I know some people hate that, and I'm not against, you know, Coach of the Year awards going to great coach for great team we thought was great and was great. But typically, it's the surprise teams, and obviously, Tocchet has been the guy who everybody has sort of identified for a long time. But I think between the expectations and then the course of the season and the dominance now that's happening, I think Josi has a really good case too, for sure. I mean, Josi has a case probably for multiple awards, but I'm going to go Burnett by a hair there.
Nick Kieser, better case, Burnett for the Jack Adams, Josi for the Norris.
I kind of tend to agree with Joe, but I'm going to go Josi for this reason. I think Andrew Burnett will have another year to prove the consistency to what they have right now. And they may not have the same looking team next year. There's no guarantee whatsoever. There never is when you move on. But I think that when he is here in Nashville, I think you have to look at what the body of work could be for next season, what the expectation could be with a few different faces on this roster next year, and maybe that challenge with maybe the better expectation of, hey, we've got these younger guys here now. What can they do with that? And I think that's more interesting for me. Josi, I think, is strictly deserving of this because if you look at what he's done ever since they turned this around, but also since the start of the calendar year in 24, he's been by far one of the league's best players. I mean, you know, Robbie, you phrased that question last night. He's getting this Hart attention. So I think you have to think about what he has done, not just the entire season, but also during this latest stretch. And he's absolutely carried this team unlike any other player has for his team this season.
It's a really hard one because I think both can make a really good case for it. I think Vancouver might be the primary competition for both. Although, I mean, Cale Makar is also great competition for Josi and the Norris. I will go Josi with the Norris, but it's a slight edge. Like Brunette, you start to reach a number where it forces people to pay attention. And the time of the year in which it's happening, this 18-game point streak, I mean, the whole league was watching that game last night. I mean, Elliot Friedman was tweeting about it. Pierre LeBrun was tweeting about it. Everybody in the league was watching the Vegas and the Predators and that comeback last night. And I do think that both are going to get significant attention and significant consideration for both of these awards coming down the stretch here. I'll go Yossi by a hair, but it's really close. I mean, Andrew Brunette has clearly done a masterful job here. And last night, probably another great example of that, of, you know, basically he said he walked in there after the second period and was like, I mean, or after the first period when they were down 3-0, and said, all right, this is another opportunity here to figure out what you're made of. And they responded in a big way after that. So I think both are going to get serious consideration down the stretch. I'll go Yossi by a hair. And to that point, does Roman Yossi deserve consideration for league MVP? There's people around the league that are starting to think the answer to that question is yes. We'll dissect that. Coming up next, we'll continue to break down the possible playoff matchups for the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Dramatic win for the Predators last night. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Fallout Boy at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Sunday, March 31st. That is this Sunday. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Fallout Boy at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Sunday, March 31st. Joe, on the playoff matchup front, so they're 4 points behind Winnipeg right now for third in the division, 4 points up on Vegas for that first wild card spot. You know, a lot's going to be made of the Winnipeg part of this. Can you catch them? Can you not? Like, honestly, I don't know that I think that that's a huge deal right now, one way or the other. Like, to me, I mean, I guess the only way it's a gigantic deal is if you are a believer in what we just talked about and you want no part of the travel, right? Because if you get third, you're playing either Dallas or Colorado. Like, if you pass Winnipeg and you get to third, you're going to play either Dallas or Colorado. That's your first-round opponent. If you hang around in wild card one, well, if Vancouver finishes ahead, you're going to be playing the Central Division part of this. If, like, Dallas or Colorado wins the West, you'd be playing Vancouver or Edmonton if you finish in wild card one. So there's a lot of different ways this thing can go. Like, to me, and maybe, you know, I'm sure the Predators, I mean, they just want to get in. They don't really care who they play. Like, if you're operating under the assumption that I think you and I are, and, like, Colorado is probably not necessarily the team you want in the first round, well, it's hard to answer whether or not, you know, the getting to third in the Central is the best path, because right now it's looking like Dallas and Colorado is going to come down to the end here. I mean, Colorado [S2] Yep. [S1] Is 2 points back of Dallas, and Colorado has been right there with the Predators over the last stretch as one of the hottest teams in the league. Now, they did lose last night, but without knowing who's going to win the division at this point, and that could go down to the very last day, I can't tell you whether or not I think getting to third in the division is a big deal right now because of the matchups that all go into it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Colorado does have a game in hand, right? With Dallas?
They have one, yes, one game in hand.
Yeah, down 2 points. Yeah, I mean, I think the other day we're like, yeah, I still would guess this. I still would guess that Colorado, just because of how they've played in general, that they would end up emerging and winning the division, in which case it would definitely be worthwhile getting the three. But I don't know that. I mean, Dallas is right there. So I think it's just, obviously, this is one of those things that we do and we can do and talk about the matchups. And obviously the team, it's just, can you bring that game every night consistently and just win as much as you can win and then see what happens at the end? Yeah. I mean, if you're worried about that stuff, I think that probably doesn't bode well for you in the playoffs. I mean, the Preds need to be thinking that they can beat anybody, and they should think that the way they're playing right now. But yeah, it really, like, winning or losing could help or hurt you at this point. It's just too hard to figure out exactly how it's all going to shake out. So
are we selling the Stars too short in terms of, like, I think all three of us picked the Stars as the matchup that's most advantageous for the Predators. They did just waltz in here and absolutely destroy them last time that they played. Are we selling the Stars too short?
Well, I mean, I ranked them number one. It doesn't mean I ranked them as a great matchup. You know, I mean, it's just like they just happen to be of those other ones. I narrowly picked them because we have seen, and of course, like you said, the Preds have the embarrassing loss of embarrassing losses. They also have the blown game of blown games against Dallas, but for most of that game and then previous matchups, they did match up well with them, you know? I mean, that's what I'm basing it on, you know? I mean, that's really, really nothing else. So yeah, I mean, stars could win the cup
for sure.
So nothing is an amazing matchup, but that's how the playoffs should be.
That's how the playoffs should be. And I mean, really the one team, like, Dallas is good. I mean, I picked Dallas to win the Stanley Cup before the year. So I think Dallas is a really good team. Colorado, we know what they are. Edmonton, I think, is you're going to see a very motivated McDavid, Draisaitl. I talked about the pressure earlier. I think there is a lot of pressure, but I also think that those two in particular, you're going to see the best that they have, and the best that they have, as we know, is pretty darn lethal. So the one team that I just have no idea what to expect when the playoffs come around is Vancouver. Like, that's the one team that I don't know. Like, they've been good all year. They have great talent. I mean, we know Pettersson and Besser and Hughes, and, you know, when Demko is healthy and he's on, they're good. So, like, all of these matchups, the Predators could certainly lose. But Vancouver is the one where, they don't have a ton of guys who have been there before. They don't have a ton of guys with playoff experience. Like, I do wonder, like, what's that going to look like for them once they get there? And at the end of the day, despite the travel, could that actually end up being the best matchup for the Predators? And again, it's hard to answer that because I don't think they played them since like November.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and those are all good points. There's a newness there on both sides and some, you know, with a lot of guys. So, look, you made the point earlier about Edmonton. I could see. I mean, we know that has been a brutal matchup for the Preds, but like psychologically, maybe that's, you know, maybe there is, maybe that's the most advantageous. I mean, yeah, it's about the, to me, it's about the Preds and how they're, can they consistently just count on certain things night after night? And, you know, that's also, I think it was Colton Sissons. I saw a quote from him about like when you're on a run like this, it almost can, like, I mean, it kind of does make it harder, right? I mean, the attention, the momentum and all that stuff, you have that great feeling, but also, like, I mean, you can't take a shift off. Like, you feel, you know what I mean? I mean, that's a good thing, but also you would think that during a stretch this long, it would be grueling and exhausting for a team. And maybe we've seen a little bit of that in the last couple of games.
Well, and that's why I think it's important to go ahead and finish this off and get a spot clinched, because I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to have like 2-3 games left and be able to either rest some guys or really manage the bench if you're Andrew Brunette, because there's no, I mean, look, it's been a fun run. It also has to be really taxing for them to play the way that they've played for the last month and a half at this point.
Yeah. Now, of course, somebody will answer that and say, then you get rusty and you want to be peeking at the,
sure.
But I mean, I'm with you. I mean, if you can do that and get a little bit of a break for somebody and you're not going all the way to the end, I would take that over whatever you might lose, you know, that's hard to quantify.
One thing, kind of the last point here on the Predators before we move on to Kuharsky coming up here in the next few minutes. One thing that's really interesting about this group beyond the way that they're playing right now, I haven't looked up exactly where they would rank here, but I have to think in terms of playoff experience, their roster has to be near the top of the list. I mean, obviously Colorado's got a ton of experience. Edmonton's got some guys with a lot of experience. But when you think about Ryan O'Reilly, Nyquist, Ryan McDonough, who's as experienced as anybody in the playoffs, Yossi, Forsberg, Bevilliers made deep runs with the Islanders. Zucker, I think, has 46 playoff games in his career. I mean, they got a ton of guys. Luke Shen's won cups with Tampa Bay. They got a ton of guys that have played a ton of hockey in the playoffs. And again, look, experience is nice to have. It's not everything when the playoffs come around. But I'm just saying, like, they have a ton of guys with a lot of playoff experience on this roster.
I mean, you just listed all those guys and don't mention number one center, hat trick,
Colton Sissons.
Yeah. No, it's a great list. No, they really do. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, and I think people look at the Preds again, like even Adam said earlier, you know, young team and up and coming team and all that stuff. And I mean, actually it's there's quite a few guys, and there's a few guys who are really longer in the tooth, but in particular just some guys who are still good, but they're older and they have been through these things, and that could be an advantage.
We'll have our final thoughts with the Predators going for 19 games in a row with a point in Arizona tomorrow. Coming up next, you're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. Preds win again last night. 18 games in a row with a point. 16-0-2 during that stretch. And Kieser, we brought this up this morning on Robbie and Rexro, and I'll throw the question to you. How do you view the Roman Josi part of this as it relates to the Hart Trophy conversation, the Norris Trophy conversation? How do you view kind of where he stands in those two different conversations right now?
Look, I think he is definitely deserving of both conversations, and I kind of want to retract what I even had kind of talked about in saying that maybe Roman Josi would win maybe the Norris before Andrew Burnett, but I also kind of thought, well, he probably won't get MVP. You know, he won't get that accolade. I mean, he's not had the season through and through that other guys like McKinnon or McDavid have had. But I also think that when you look at the body of work that he's done for the Norris conversation, this is the one that means more, I think, right now at this point in the season, especially for what he's done here in the last few months. I think he is definitely going to be a finalist. I mean, if you don't have him as a finalist, I think you're snubbing him for what he's actually worth. And I think that that is something that, you know, you would sell Roman Josi short on, yes, but also to one thing that I've kind of thought about as well is, what do these awards do, not just for the individual players, but also for the franchise as well? I mean, look at when Pekka won the Vezina, and then you also had Shea Weber, who won the leadership award as well, who's also been, you know, kind of snubbed for those Norris trophies as well. I mean, you know, Nick Lidstrom was very deserving of a few of those chances for sure. But I also think that when you win those awards individually, it impacts the franchise as a whole. Players are going to want to be here more often. It means more for you to stay in that city. And I think that for Roman Josi's case, I think at this point in the season, if you don't at least have that conversation heating up, it definitely needs to be apparent now. And I think that that's something that you can do as this kind of wanes on here. And look, I think ultimately too, Robbie, when I think about him in the conversation with MVP, I think that just furthers the case for his importance in the NHL just in general. I mean, he's one of the lone Swiss guys that have had very successful careers in the NHL. He's also been the longest tenured captain in franchise history now playing this season. He was shocked by that when I told him that at training camp too. But also too, I think just thinking about this at large, if there's not some sort of close voting, I think at the least as well, I don't think that's going to do us any justice to talk about what he's done to this point. It's going to be like, well, Roman Josi had one Norris in his career. What's he going to look like in the Hall of Fame, or what's he going to look like here for the Nashville Predators? I think they're going to have some sort of ring of honor, basically. They have a wall of honor. I know that that's going to be coming up for a lot of their alumni. But, you know, aside from that, what's Roman Josi going to be remembered for? That's a long time from now, for sure. But I think that right now this season, I really do see him as a finalist for the Norris, if not better than Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes is great. Look, I think he's awesome. But I don't think that he's kind of carried the team as well as Roman has over the entire season. That's just the way that I see this, Robbie.
I'm interested to see how it shakes out. I mean, I don't think he's got much of a shot in terms of the MVP race. I mean, not that he shouldn't be in the conversation, because I think he should. When you start really digging into the numbers of how good he's been, what he's meant to this team, there are very few players in the league that have been more valuable to their team than Yossi has been through this stretch where they've gone 16-0-2. So he's been outstanding. I just think, you know, McKinnon has 123 points. I think he's the runaway favorite right now to win the Hart Trophy. You've got McDavid in the conversation, as he always is. You got Panarin in New York in the conversation. You know, there's a bunch of different ways you could go with it. I think McKinnon is the pretty clear favorite right now in the Hart Trophy conversation. That's just me. The Norris is getting more interesting by the day, because I think if you went by just the first half of the season, it was pretty clearly going to be Quinn Hughes, and that was it. And Cale Makar was right there, and both of those guys have had good years, and they've continued to play well since then. So it's not like Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar have, like, fallen off the table here, okay? But Yossi, I think, pretty clearly has been the best defenseman in the league for the last couple of months. And I've said it before, fair or unfair, these races, it matters more what you do in the second half of the season than it does the first half. It's just the way it is. And it's the most recent body of information that people have to go on when they start to make these votes. And I do think, like, to me, like, he's done enough now at this point where if he wasn't a finalist for the Norris Trophy, I think that would be ridiculous. Like, and there are other guys that are absolutely deserving of being in the conversation. Like, you know, Dobson in New York's had a good year. Everybody keeps talking about Evan Bouchard in Edmonton. I still, like, defensively, he's not very good. So I still kind of struggle with that one. But there are plenty of defensemen that have had Norris caliber years. But nobody's playing like Roman Yossi's playing right now. And that includes Cale Makar. And that includes Quinn Hughes, and both those guys are great. But I'm really interested to see how this ends up shaking out and if he becomes a finalist. You know, it would be great if he could win another one. I think he should have two. You know, he's got the one. I thought the year he put up 96 points, he should have won another one. It would be a shame if he got to the end of his career and he only had one Norris Trophy, because I think he's probably deserving of more than that. But I think at the very least, he should be a Norris Trophy finalist with the way that he's played.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, just looking at the numbers super fast here. I mean, since January, this is what I talked about earlier as well. He's got 44 points in 35 games, which, by the way, on even strength goals or even strength points, even too, he's got 30 even strength points,
yeah.
7 even strength goals, by the way. And I know that he just scored an overtime the other night against Vegas, but also, too, when you just look at the entire leaderboard as well, I find it super interesting that there's also the matter of the fact that for Roman Yossi, you know, the entire season, yeah, you could look at his numbers and he's one of the better D-man for sure. But then if you go up to just January with everybody right now, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he's way up there. I mean, I know that...
Talking about with forwards, too.
With forwards, terms of his scoring. He's way up there. I mean, you have to look at what he's done among other players in the league. And I think personally, when you look at some D-man in the league, you know, Adam Fox is another guy that's been pretty good this season. I don't think he's going to be a finalist, but he's been really good. But I think also, too, like what you said, Bouchard, not good just on that side of the puck. And I think when voters think about this, it's a shame that sometimes they don't think about analytically and they don't think about watching with their eyeballs and saying, you know what? He's actually pretty good in his own end. He can actually look up and make a play or score a goal.
Well, it's turned into a mostly offensive award.
Yeah, it has.
And look, offense should be a part of it. You know, it's the award is for the best all-around defenseman. And offense is a big part of that. But also, like, I think, to me, in order to be considered for the Norris Trophy, the offensive numbers need to be there. I also think the defensive numbers need to be there. And the underlying numbers of what you do. And, you know, Roman Yossi's not perfect defensively, but I think he's pretty darn good. And especially during this stretch, I mean, the whole team right now, they've been the best defensive team in the league for the last month and a half. So, not that that's the be-all, end-all. I'm just saying, like, they're all playing pretty well defensively right now, and the numbers bear that out. So, I think he deserves a lot of consideration for that. You know, I'm interested to see if Brunette creeps into the Jack Adams conversation. It's been basically Rick Tocchet's award to lose all year long. And look, you know, if somebody votes for Rick Tocchet to win the Jack Adams, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, he's done an outstanding job with Vancouver. He deserves consideration for the Jack Adams for sure. But I am interested to see what that looks like. Couple of big games coming up, Nick. Arizona and then Colorado this weekend, and then back at home next Tuesday against Boston. But I think everybody's looking forward to that one on the road Saturday against Colorado as yet another litmus test, but a litmus test on the road against a possible first-round opponent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one small tidbit that I really liked the other day was that Josh Doan made his NHL debut. He's also got two goals already, by the way. And his father was there, and he will see the Nashville Predators for his second career NHL game tomorrow. So that will be fun to see. But then also Colorado, we've already talked about what they are like this year. They are the hardest team to play in their barn this year. I'm very curious to see what their approach is. Obviously, you're going to hear from these Preds players saying, look, one game at a time, we have to approach this like we have every other game, and hopefully that works. If not, then maybe they'll have to find themselves another way to get a point, if not a win, against these Avalanche.
That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Penalty Box Radio is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.